Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Schuller, and this is the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. We come here at live 8 o'clock every Sunday morning, and I said we because you're part of it, and maybe you noticed the person on my left, my wife Donna, the Rose, and now you're just left with the Thorns. She's not here today. She is with her mother, her daughter, and her granddaughter, and the four of them took this weekend. It was the only time that really worked for everybody, and they went to New York for a special time. And can you imagine that? Four generations. I am just really excited for them, and so she'll be back tomorrow. But anyway, it's a beautiful time for us to be able to worship God and to come together and to praise Him. And so I hope I'm not too boring. I know Donna's full of life and excitement, and she keeps me she makes me not quite so boring. But anyway, we're here to worship God, and I've got a message for you about Abraham, and a message on peace through dark times and in dark times. And so today is the second Sunday of Advent. Advent means we're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to Christmas. We're looking forward to the expectations that we have of the beauty and the gifts of God through His Son Jesus Christ. And so this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time where we can come together and we can worship You. And so through all the various mediums of social platforms, we have the ability to reach around the world and hold spiritually our hands, metaphorically hold hands, and realize that together we can worship You. So You are our God. We are Your children. We are Your people. So touch every heart, every soul, every mind with Your compassion, with Your love, with Your peace. And so, oh God, we give You praise and glory and honor in everything and in every way. Amen. So normally Donna would be here and, oops, let's see. I hit something when I put my hand down on the computer, and well, now I've got to read what you're saying. Are you sure you want to end the stream? Cancel. No, I don't want to end the stream. I'm glad I read that and didn't just say okay. So I hit this anyway. So okay, I think we're good. Just want to make sure everything's working well, because last thing, every once in a while I have a problem, then I've got to go do the whole thing over again. So I think we're good. So I already said a prayer and a little introduction and talked a little bit about Advent. Advent, the word Advent comes from Latin, Adventus. And in English, we get the word adventure. So I've been encouraging people to take adventures, and they are. And that's what life is about. God has given us the ability to adventure and experience all the goodness that He has for us in this in the world that we live in, and basically the entire planet Earth. And so today we're going to be talking about Abraham, as I mentioned earlier, and we're going to be coming to the realization that with him and through the power of God's promises to us, that we have just a wonderful, beautiful life, an eternal life with God. So one of the things Donna does is she reads scriptures, and in a minute I'm going to read a scripture, but I just want to make a couple announcements. First of all, if this service means anything to you, please tell your friends, share this message with others, like it, and subscribe as well. I'm going to open the chat box, see if there's anything going on as far as our chats are concerned. And thank you. I have to Claudia, and who gives us a message. Thank you, Claudia. So anyway, and then there's a few others. I don't have time to talk to everybody, but anyway, again, we are here to worship God. And if you're in the Newport area, if you're ever here on a Sunday morning, please join us at 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, California. That's where we meet on Sunday mornings. But you send your gifts to 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, which is where our office is. And but don't go there for church because we're not there on Sunday mornings. Go to the 100 Civic Center Drive in Newport Beach, California. We've got a beautiful location there, and it'll be terrific. So good morning, Lawrence. It's good to have you on today. So I'm going to read the scripture since Donna's not with us. Again, she is with her mother, her daughter, and her granddaughter. The four generations, they are spending time together and in a special place. And so today I'm going to read the scripture. And I'm reading from Psalm 46:10 because today is the Advent Sunday, the Sunday of peace. And this psalm is about peace. So hear these words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most Holy dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fail. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease. He brings peace. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with me. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words of comfort, your words of peace. For as we see a war, as we see a world that is torn with wars around, in families, in communities, in nations, we pray that your love and your comfort will touch the hearts of those who make these decisions, and peace will abound. So you are a God of peace who turns the swords into plows. You're the God of peace who calls upon us to look upon you as God, as Lord, as sovereign, as our shield. So as you protect us, we have nothing to fear. And so we come to you, O Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, with joy on our lips, with praise in our souls. And we give you praise and thanks and honor always and forever. You are our God, and we love you. Amen. So, again, we are a church, and part of a church service should incorporate a collecting of the offering. And why do I say should? There's many churches today who do not pass an offering plate, do not ask for an offering. And they have boxes in the back of the church for people to put them in, or they don't even say a thing about collecting an offering. And they've done that for the purpose of not turning seekers off, meaning people who are looking at Jesus for the first time, people who are wanting to explore what the church is all about. And there was a time when people got really turned off the whole idea of people asking for money in a church. And yet what we are doing when we go to church, when we worship God, when you watch this program, which is a worship service, what we are doing is worshiping God. And a main big part of worshiping God is to express our faith and our confidence in Him by giving a tangible gift. And this is a tangible part of our worship where we say, okay, Lord, we have more faith in You than we have in our checking account, than we have in the money in our pockets, than the finances we have. For You are our great reward. I'm quoting right out of our scripture this morning. You are our great reward. In other words, God will take care of us. He will give us what we need. That's His promise. It won't necessarily be in an abundance overflowing, but will definitely be what we need. And He knows what we need more than we know ourselves. In fact, for many of us, less than with more as far as finances is concerned. But the fact is, God understands where we are financially. He knows that we live in a world, a tangible world, where we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need housing, we need security, and God wants to provide that for us. And part of that is developing a relationship with God, a contract with God. And part of our contract is to bring our tithes, the whole tithes, to the storehouse, to support His teachers. In the Old Testament, it was the tribe of Levi. They received 10% of the to be able to do the Lord's work and provide for the temple and to take care of everything. And it hasn't changed. In the New Testament, it changed in that Jesus said, with what measure you give, it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So it isn't a 10% requirement, nor is it a 10% cap. In other words, it's with the measure of your faith that you will find your blessings. And the blessings don't necessarily come financially. I know I have experienced the blessings financially. I've witnessed that. It's happened to me numerous times. I've told some of the stories previously. I've shared it in my books. I'm not going to go into that now, but God knows what we need more than we know ourselves, and it may be a relationship that needs mending. It may be a relationship that needs creating. It may be knowledge and understanding, guidance. I don't know what it is. God does. You may know, you may not, but we give our gifts with the full understanding and the realization that we are fulfilling the commands of God and we are worshiping Him and we're expressing our faith in Him, that we have more faith in Him than we have fear of our finances. So if you want to support this ministry, and if you don't want to support this ministry, make sure you support another ministry. But I want you to know that we use these gifts to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ with as many people as earthly possible. My wife and I are consistently working to make this better, to reach more people, to write. I'm in the process of writing a book right now about the gods of the woke. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. It's a book about the gods of the woke. It's an intricate educational book and full of current events and how we're going to deal with the future attack and on Christianity and on God, and how we're going to defeat this enemy of ours. But anyway, we're going to defeat it with love and compassion is what we're going to do. But anyway, here we are. And if you want to support this ministry, and I encourage you to do so, because we will use those funds very, very wisely and prudently. So to support this ministry, you can go to our website at drschuler.org. In fact, I encourage you to go to our website anyway, because we've got blog posts on there. There's a link to our YouTube page, Robert Schuler Ministries at YouTube, with over 1,000 videos now. We have been doing this for years. And anyhow, we've got videos from 30 seconds to even less than that, 10 seconds, I think, some of the short ones, to 4 hours. But anyway, go to our website at drschuler.org, and you'll find a button there that says, I'd like to give. You can make a one-time gift, or you can become a recurring donor. And we appreciate those of you who are recurring donors. That's the foundation of the financial support of this ministry, and we thank you for that. I want to thank you in advance for what you're able to give and for what you do give. Another way to give is to write to us at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. And again, if you didn't get that, that's at the bottom of our website, big letters, it's bold, should be easy to find, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. And then we have another way, which is you can Venmo us. Let me pull up the Venmo. There it is. You can Venmo us. And here's a QR code with a picture of the Venmo. Why aren't you coming up? Let it come on up. It doesn't want to come up. Let me try another one. Let me try it one more time. Oh, there it is in the corner of the screen. Sorry, small corner of the screen. And there's the one I'm looking for. I X this one out. So that's our Venmo. And you can Venmo us there at any time. So anyway, again, we want to thank you for what you're able to give. If you're in Newport Beach, or you're anywhere in the Orange County area, or Southern California for that matter, you can drive down to Newport Beach and spend the day. It's beautiful. You could take the ferry across, literally drive on the ferry and take it across the harbor. You can take a walk down to the pier. You can have lunch at the end of the pier. It's a beautiful place to come and just enjoy and relax and enjoy the day. But at 10:30, every Sunday morning, we are at Community Center, and that's at 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, California. So that's enough of our announcements. Let me go into our message, because I want to talk to you and share with you a bit about what God has placed in my heart as we prepare for Advent. And what I want to talk to you today about is the promise that God makes to Abraham. I'm opening up my Bible to Genesis 15, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to share a little bit about Genesis 15, because Genesis 15 is where we find God's promise to Abraham. And it's a magnificent promise. It is full of all kinds of confidence and peace and goodness. And so hear these words from Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. I'm going to stop here because there's a lot just in that sentence alone. It says, do not fear. In fact, I think this is the first time in the Bible where we receive the words, do not fear. Throughout the Bible, there's hundreds of fear nots, do not fear, and do not allow fear to overcome you. The word fear, I've read, it takes place 395 times, one for every day of the week. And I think we need that many, because we face the lies of Satan, which constantly wants to create fear. And we have seen how effective fear works in the last few years, with COVID being used as a means to manipulate and control the masses. And it's one of China's goals to be able to control the masses and to be able to control the world. So here it says right in front, do not be afraid, Abram. We need to hear those words. If you're looking for peace today, we can find peace even in the darkness when we come to the realization that God is more powerful than anything. He can overcome our fear. And the first thing he says to Abram is, do not be afraid, for I am your shield. And the word shield is an interesting word because shield also can mean king. So he is our king, he is our Lord, he is our shield. So every time you read the word of God being our Lord or our God, also think of him being our shield. He puts a protective shield around his people, around you. Today, God is putting his protective shield around those who are his people. If he is their king, if he is their Lord, he is also their shield. And he says to Abram, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. You cannot find a better shield anywhere in the world. There is nothing that can be created that will give you more protection than me. I am the Lord. I am God, he says. I am your very great reward. By this time, Abraham was very wealthy. He had servants. He had sheep and goats and cattle. And he was very wealthy. He had everything he needed in life. But it is God who is his very great reward. He's still living in a tent. He is a nomad. He doesn't own the land. The land is controlled by other kingdoms and fiefdoms. And in fact, they're out to get Abraham. And so he is concerned. And so the Lord continued to say, but Abraham said to the Lord, our scripture says, but Abraham said to the Lord after the Lord told him these things, sovereign Lord, King, my shield, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. That is Abraham's greatest concern. He has no children. He's old by this time. He's 80 years old. His wife is equally as old. And he speaks to God and says, Lord, I'm in a land of giving everything I have to one of my servants. It's not my heir. It's not what I want. Remember when I've talked about we give our gifts because God knows what we want. And what you want may not be finances. In fact, for most people, they think it's finances because they think the finances will give them what they want, when in reality, it's something more, something else. And God will supply your need. Then the word of the Lord came to Abraham. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. God knew that Abraham had already adopted this man, but it wasn't his flesh and blood. And Abraham wanted to give his kingdom, his wealth to his flesh and blood. Then God took him outside and said, look up the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And I think you can imagine being in the darkest place with a clear sky and looking up, because that's what it would have been like. God took him outside, so it was a clear night, so he could look up into the sky. And there's no light pollution. And there's no pollution. So on a clear night in the desert, you can see all the stars. And I know some scholars have said that there's probably 8,000 stars that he could have counted. And I think to myself, that's a gross miscalculation. There's far more he would see on a dark night in a clear sky from horizon to horizon. After all, there's 2 to the 15th power. 200 billion trillion stars that are estimated to be in the universe, of which he would see just little specks, almost almost like a screen of stars. You couldn't begin to count them. That's the way it's been when I have seen the stars on a clear night with no air, with no pollution. You probably have seen the same thing, where you've been in a super dark place and you can look up and the stars are magnificent. It's just unbelievable. And God assures Abraham that not only is he going to give him a son, but his heirs will be more numerous than he could ever possibly imagine. That's promise number one. Now, here's what the Bible says, and this is what's so important. Even though Abraham was old, even though his wife was not pregnant, even though the likelihood of her getting pregnant in old age, because they've been trying to have babies there for decades, the Bible says in verse 6, and these are important words for you to hear, Abraham believed the Lord. That's important words for us to hear today, because when God says to you over and over again in this Bible, fear not, I want you to hear those words and believe them. Abraham believed him. First thing he said, do not fear, Abraham. Abraham believed him. You're going to have many children. Abraham believed him. I am going to be your shield. Abraham believed him. I am your great reward. Abraham believed him. And these promises to Abraham are promises to all of us as God's people. Do you believe? Abraham believed him. And God credited it to him as righteousness. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiving our sins and forgiving us eternal life, God credits us with that righteousness. He forgives our sins, and he gives us these tremendous promises that we have nothing to fear, for he is our shield, he is our great reward, and he will be with us no matter where we go. There isn't any place we can go that God is not. You can go to the bottom of the seas and God is there. You can go to the highest heavens, you can go to the ends of the universe, and God will still be. He is everywhere. He is infinite. He is infinite in time and space. He is infinite in presence and knowledge. He knows everything about you. The Bible says he knows how many hairs are on your head. And God said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to our last message last week where I showed a map of Ur and the travels of Abraham. And I will give you this land to take possession of it, a land upon which he was sitting. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of this land? And with that, God gave him some instructions. He said, bring me a heifer, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite of each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. So he had been sitting there, he had cut them in half, basically making a path that could be that you could walk between the carcasses. And he did this on purpose because the contracts in the time of Abraham, they didn't have the papyrus to write on or paper. They couldn't write things down. Everything had to be oral. And so their oral memory had to be very concise, because when they cut these carcasses in half, what they do is they walk through the middle of them together, and it is a pledge, it is a promise. And the promise is, if I don't fulfill the promise and the pledge that we make, if I don't give you this land as this contract, you can do to me what has been done to these carcasses. And that's the way it was done in the time of Abraham. So he cut these carcasses in half. And he's going, okay, now what? And he's been sitting there probably all day long enough for the birds of prey to come and start eating on the carcasses. He shoos them away, and he sits there and waits some more. So what happens when you sit there and you wait all day? Suddenly it becomes night. What happens? Normal people fall asleep. So what happened to Abraham? As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness covered him. This dreadful darkness is not the darkness of night. This is the darkness of emotions. This whole chapter deals with the emotions of Abraham, his feeling of being abandoned by God, his feeling like he was going to die, his feeling like he doesn't have anything and any future. He doesn't have that everything he has acquired and received in life amounts to nothing. And these are the emotions he has. And I suspect there are times where you have felt like this, that everything you do means nothing, that you fear for your life and your future, and life is meaningless. And these are the emotions that Abraham is feeling. It is a dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be a stranger in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there." And we know what he's talking about. Abraham didn't. God didn't explain to him that they would be slaves in Egypt for 400 years until Moses would come and free them. "But I will punish the nation they will serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." That gets a little complicated. The Amorites are an evil nation that practiced child sacrifice and human sacrifice, practiced prostitution in the temples, practiced idol worship, sacrilegious. It was an evil culture that God wanted the Israelites to abolish. And later he commanded them to do so. And so as they came to their highest glory, it was then that the Israelites, led by Joshua and Caleb, would go and defeat them. So coming back to our reading in verse 17, "When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces." I don't know if this thing was just floating in the air like a ghost would be carrying it, or whether Abraham is still asleep and in his sleep he envisions this taking place. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the smoking pot represents God himself walking between these pieces that have been cut in two, saying himself, "If I don't provide this property, this land to you, you can do to me what has happened to these carcasses. That's how legitimate my promise is to you, that you will have children, that they will be numerous, and that they will occupy this land." And the fact is that that's God's promise for us for eternal life. The land that we inherit isn't on planet Earth. The land that we inherit today is eternal life in heaven. It is a mansion that has been created for you to be able to experience the beauty and the love of God. A mansion is not a physical thing. It is a place in which we reside with God, is our residence with God and with God's people in joy and in happiness and peace. But on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. And you may be questioning and wondering, well, what does that mean? Let me see if my computer is running a little slow there, sorry, because I'm going to show you what that means. This is the land that God promised Abraham. That's how much land God promised Abraham. That's God's promised Israel. Now, in the middle of that picture, you'll see a small little pyramid in yellow, and that is Israel today. That is Israel today, and that's what God promised the Israelites. So why haven't the Israelites acquired all that land? Clearly, it's political. Clearly, it is a fact that the Israelites have forsaken God. Most of the people in Israel today are completely secular. They don't believe in God. It's like the United States of America. They have turned their face away from God. They have not adhered to the promise that God has given to them. And according to the contract of God, he should simply abolish them and split them in two and call it a day. But the fact is that God is a God of grace, and he is a God of mercy. And he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay for the sins of mankind. And so his promise is not of land, but his promises of peace. And God wants to give you peace in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, so that when you come before the Lord, he will be your shield. And because he is your shield, you will find the peace that we have as we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. On this Sunday of Advent, the Advent of peace, God is your shield. Do not be afraid. He has a great reward for you. Even if you're wealthy, the reward he has for you is beyond comprehension. It is a joy and a hope and a peace and a goodness that you will be stunned with. So this is our message today. It is the promise of God to Abraham. It is the promise to all of Abraham's children and all people on earth through the blood of Jesus Christ are invited to be heirs of Abraham. And I invite you right now, if you're listening to me and this message has meant something to you, I guarantee that the blood of Jesus Christ, you see, throughout the entire Bible, we see blood sacrifices taking place. Starts with Adam. God clothed Adam with animal skins, a blood sacrifice. We see it with Abraham. God made a promise with Abraham, a blood promise. Animals were cut in half. Throughout the Old Testament, they continued to sacrifice the animals on the altar in the temple as a blood sacrifice. The last blood sacrifice of God was his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save you of your sins and fulfill a promise with you that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so we come before God in prayer. And the scripture we read today, it said Abraham believed. And today I want to be able to use your name and say that you believed. And when you do, your name is written in the book of life so that when our life comes to an end, and every single person on planet Earth in the next 100 years is probably going to die. There may be a few people who live over 100. But the majority of people on planet Earth today will be dead in 100 years from now. That's over 8 billion people. And every single one of them, every single one who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Because God, in his grace and his mercy and his love, calls everyone. It's an invitation. But you have to accept the invitation. He's not going to force you into anything. He's not a God who's going to enslave you, but a God who's going to set you free. It is divine liberation from the fear and the stress of life. And when God becomes your shield, come before him now. Join me in a prayer. Give your life to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my salvation. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So write my name, O Lord, in the book of life today. May every single person who says, I believe, come to the full understanding and realization and find the peace of Jesus today. We don't have to wait to Christmas morning to witness the coming of Jesus. We can experience the coming of Jesus right now by saying, I believe. So wherever you are right now, pray this prayer and say, I believe, Jesus, I believe. Experience the peace that comes through having God as your shield and his great reward. We love you, Lord. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer, please write to me and let me know. My address is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. You can go to our website and find it there. It's drschuler.org. You can email me at robert@schulerministries.org, and you can send me an email. Let me know that the presence of God Almighty is with you always and forever, because put your name in there. John believed, Sarah believed, Ralph believed, Cindy believed, whatever your name is, you put that in there and you say, I believe. Now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Go with him and find your peace even in the darkest of times. Bye-bye.